Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN FM HD1 New York on Odyssey Sports Station.
All right, 5 after 8. What is up? Coming to you live in the Biltford Tub Studio, Joe and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. I'll get back to your calls in a couple of minutes. Also, a couple of things on the Olympics coming up, but real quick, because this puzzled me. I never anticipated this reaction. So yesterday, my son's baseball team, the Mustangs Baseball Club, played in a showcase weekend at Rutgers.
Abracadabra.
And Steve Miller Band. Yes. Not the, also now in the new Eminem song, Houdini, by the way.
Oh, really?
You haven't heard it?
No.
Yes, they used the hook and all that. Very cool song. Anyhow.
Go.
So they played baseball in this Rutgers showcase at the Bainton Field. It was really a great weekend and everything. And so we're driving back yesterday. Played through the rain, got done at like, I guess it was 5 o'clock or so, maybe a little before five. And I'm going over the Driscoll Bridge and I hear a pop. And I know there's something going on with the tire and I'm just waiting for the tire light to go on. I'm at the top of the bridge and there comes the tire light.
This is the Driscoll Bridge around? Yeah,
on the Garden State Parkway.
No, I know what it is.
I'm coming back from Rutgers.
Right.
So immediately the tire light comes on. You can feel the car kind of pulling a little bit. I'm like, all right, let me get to the right. I know there's an exit up here, and
there's a big rest stop right there.
Yeah, but I wasn't going that far because I heard it pop, so I knew something was going on.
Right.
There's an exit right over the Driscoll Bridge to the right where there's plenty of space. No one ever uses the exit. It's one of those new exits that they built.
Okay.
So I take the exit, pull over. Could not have been in more space in a safer spot. And I get out, and immediately I look to the back right tire. It's flat. Like, it's gone.
Ugh.
Like, all right. Well, to me, not that big a deal. As Al knows, I know how to change a flat.
You got the donut? What, you got a donut?
Yeah, I have a donut in the back. I did it for 5 years for a job. So changing a flat tire to me is not a big deal. Matter of fact, I like to put the timer on me to see how fast I can do it.
Okay.
So I change the tire. So I decide, ha, 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 this has been a running gag. What would you say, 10 years with us with the tire thing?
Yes.
Maybe longer. So just a little backstory, Joe. Al and I used to commute together. This is why this is kind of funny if you've listened to us or the show. So when we used to commute together, from time to time, things would go wrong. And I got a flat tire just before the Holland Tunnel to where I had to pull into the Holland Motor Lodge parking lot.
Oh, my God.
To jack the car up.
At 4 a.m.
At 4 o'clock in the morning to where Al sat in the car. No, you got out and watched me, I think. No, you did sit in the car.
No, I sat.
Al, you did not get involved at all in this.
He jacked the car up with me in it.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
That's right. He sat in the car as I changed the tire. In not long, would you agree? 20 minutes, maybe?
Very quick, but at the Holland Tunnel Motor Lodge, I wasn't getting out at 4 a.m.
And he didn't.
You never know what could have, what came your way.
But there's no alternative at that point. Got to get to work.
Okay. No, I get it.
So my wife and my son are with me. I'm like, guys, just go stand over there.
Oh, so they were in the car with you when the flat
happened. Yeah, well, it was his game. It was his showcase.
Right.
So I basically, you guys got to go over there. Just get away from, even though it's a very low traffic, no joke, in 15 minutes, two cars went by. Two. That was it. It was very quiet. So I changed the car. I'm like, you know what? Take a picture of this. Ha ha ha. This will be funny. The show guys that listen, they know Al doesn't like to change tires, but I'm going to rep the warm-up show. I'm going to change the tire. Mm-hmm. And CBS Sports, that's the shot that we took.
Oh, wow. This is it.
Huh? Yeah. I changed the tire. I
Where's
swear
Al?
To God.
I don't see him.
No. Al is home.
Oh, okay. This is the one from yesterday, yes. Or 2 days ago.
This is yesterday.
Right.
I would tell you, and I didn't have a timer on this, maybe it took me 15 minutes. So I post the photo thinking I'm going to laugh out of it. And instead I got, I'm not going to say a million, but at least 9, 10, 11 different people killing me for not calling AAA. Like,
why would you call AAA if you can do it yourself?
Like, it took me.
Of course, if you can do the tire yourself, why would you call AAA?
It would have taken. And no, right. I have AAA. If the car breaks down, it's the greatest thing in the world. I will call them immediately. But for a flat tire, that took me 15. That would have taken them an hour and a half to get to me.
Right.
And then the time for them to change it for me. I was blown away by the reaction. I know social media is a sewer pit.
You can do the tire
I get it.
Yourself.
So you agree with me?
Of course.
Okay.
It's a no-brainer to me.
My God. It's almost like I could tell you that it's 83 and sunny out when it's 83 and sunny out and someone will tell me that it's 66 and raining in the same area I'm in. It's just polar opposites. It's you're smart for never getting... Oh, you are on it, though. Well, you're
What
not.
Am I
you're
on?
Twitter?
My daughter does all that. You think I do any of that?
I didn't think so.
It's X now. But Elon Musk has it. It's
whatever
X.
Whatever it is.
Okay.
There is a Joe Beningo X.
I understand.
Account.
I understand that there is. I get
so.
That.
Anyhow. So
She does it all, though.
I was thinking about you, though, as we were driving home after that. I said to my wife, I'm like, you know what? There's Beningo Tire and Auto.
Yeah.
Is that still a thing?
Oh, yeah. But you got to get all the way up to Garfield, New Jersey for that.
I wasn't going to go there. I'm just saying, if I lived closer, I'm working with Joe tomorrow.
Of course.
It would have been perfect.
Of course.
So anyway, so that was my Sunday night. Got home. Now I got to take care of it today. And you know, back in the day, too, I actually thought of this. I used to plug the tires, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You see, it's a giant screw that I ran over.
Yeah.
I could have fixed it, too, if I had all the right stuff.
Right.
But
well, it's still probably salvageable, right? The tire.
Oh yeah, need a patch or a plug. Not a big deal.
Right.
But yeah, the reaction was just weird.
Look, so, if you could change the tire, change the tire. Come on, of course.
I could not agree more. Peter in New Mexico, what's up, Pete?
Peter, how are you?
Good morning.
Hello.
I have to say, good morning.
Hi, Peter.
I have to say, you have you gentlemen have a very entertaining synergy together.
Cool.
It's a very enjoyable listen.
Thank you.
By the way, Jim Plunkett won both Super Bowls he started.
Yep.
Not in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but he only was MVP of one of them. Eli was MVP of two. Now, Plunkett should be in. I mean, there's no question about it. 100%.
I don't think so.
Why not?
If you look at Eli's, because his regular season.
We're talking about Plunkett or are we talking about Eli?
No, Plunkett. If you look at Plunkett's regular season stats, in every category except rushing, Eli is more than double.
Well, Eli should be in. I mean, there's no question Eli should be in. And Plunkett should be in, too, as far as I'm concerned.
That earlier caller that said Eli doesn't belong, I mean, besides his two MVPs in the Super Bowl, he has arguably the two greatest Super Bowl plays in NFL history. I mean, both of those plays are fantastic. And the run-up to that 2007 season, mm-hmm. when they were such underdogs right through. They can't call him a mediocre quarterback just based on his 500.
And he played record. Every day. And he played all the time. I mean, Eli played all the time.
I think, Peter, the Iron Man. Yes, and I think what the caller was alluding to more so was the fact that if you watched him every week, he thought he was watching an average quarterback, but he raised his game tenfold in the postseason. And I mentioned some of those games, the Lambeau Field game in Green Bay, the game in Dallas when they were not supposed to win that game, and the Cowboys were already, you know, on their
way. That was
way
when Jerry Jones was printing
distributing tickets.
Right.
Like, that worked out well.
Oh, seven.
The fact that you beat an unbeaten Patriots team where a few weeks, if I remember correctly, that final week, right? It was that final week,
the 38-35 game.
Played them great.
Coughlin played everybody.
Yeah. And they played to win. They played a great game. New England wound up winning, but then the Giants got the last laugh by beating them in the Super Bowl. I mean, I think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback because of his postseasons, for sure. But my point to you is I'm not so sure that national writers are going to think the same if they start to look at numbers and stats. And you're not going to put a guy in just because of his two postseason runs. But to me, it's a big part of it.
Well, look, you know, I think Eli's a Hall of Famer. Jim Plunkett, to me, is a Hall of Famer. And by the way, I got to pump my guy here again because I've been doing this. It's time for Mark Gastineau to get into Hall of Fame.
I know.
Okay? One of the premier pass rushers of all time. You know, I love Joe Klecko. I love him. I was there. In fact, a year ago, you know, this past weekend, I was there in Canton.
Yep.
You know, we were out there for Joe. It was great. You know, Darrell Revis went in as well. So, you know, but Gastineau, I mean, come on. I mean, and the guy was an all-pro four times, over 100 sacks in his career. You know, he had the sack record for a long time until, you know, Brett Favre. And I'm not knocking Strahan. Brett Favre laid down for Strahan, okay? Man, I'm not knocking Michael for that because what is he going to do? It wasn't his fault that Favre did what he did. But, you know, he broke the record, all of that. This guy's got to be in. I mean, come on. And the idea that Mark Gastineau could not play the run is nonsense. You watch so many old film of this guy. This guy went sideline to sideline as good as anybody. He really did.
Why is he not in?
Because I think a lot. Because, number one, I don't think anybody liked him. And here's the other thing, too. He invented the sack dance, and everybody killed him for the sack dance. Well, now, as I lose it, everybody does it. Everybody does a sack dance.
Absolutely. And now they choreographed the stuff.
And even when you're three touchdowns down, they're doing the sack dance.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
I think part of the problem is the stuff that, you know, the way he left football, you know, in the middle of the 1988
season.
Was it the box? No, because his girlfriend supposedly I guess she had cancer. Bridget Nielsen, remember? He was going out with her.
Remember, yes.
Yeah.
I think he did do boxing
at some point. But I think one of the problems, too, is that even his teammates didn't like him. I mean, let's be honest, Klecko and Lyons didn't like him.
Big part of it.
I think that's a major part of it. He should be in the Hall of Fame before, you know, while he's still coherent enough to realize that he should, you know, that it's happening.
Here's Jim in Bergen County. What's up, Jim?
Jim, how are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Love the show. Joe, I'm a Jet fan. I go back. I can tell you this. I was there when the Heidi Bowl game. I was the only one in my living room that actually saw the show.
Right. Saw the show? What do you mean, Heidi?
I mean, I was watching the Heidi Bowl, and when they put on Heidi, I ran up to my...
To the radio.
Up to my little radio.
Yeah.
And I turned on my little radio, and I heard the rest of the game.
Same thing. Absolutely.
Right. I go down to my living room. I'm one of nine kids. They're all Sunday night, all sitting around watching Heidi.
Oh, my God.
I tell them the Jets lost.
Yep.
Nobody believes me.
Yep.
I go, the Jets lost.
Yep.
Well,
43-32.
There's nothing. There's no history of it. It's gone. It got erased. Unbelievable.
Yep.
Joe, well,
43-32. By the way, that was the last game they lost that year. That's the year they won the Super Bowl. Just saying. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay, great. No, I know. Up and down, roller coaster, unbelievable. Joe, I got to know, do you believe in what I believe in, the Dan Marino curse?
Because they didn't draft him?
They were never going to get a decent quarterback again, and it's been that history since then. It's been disaster after disaster after disaster.
I never thought of a Marino curse. I do think that not taking him certainly set the franchise back majorly. There's no doubt about it. Most people think that Namath had the curse, right? Isn't that the one?
He sold his soul
to the devil to win the Super Bowl. I mean, that's the one you hear. And so they should have took Marino. And probably the biggest mistake in the history of the franchise was not taking him.
I will tell you, if they don't win the Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers here, I will be in your corner that it's never happening.
Okay.
Now, never is never. I don't mean that. I mean, the Chicago Cubs won a World Series.
Well, I'm still alive, Red Sox won. Yeah, remember, I'm still alive.
I know. I've never forgotten what you told me.
Yes.
The day you die, place the bet. I understand that. But, I think they're so set up this year.
I hope so. Jerry, I mean, I don't know how I would react to the Jets getting to the Super Bowl. I don't even know. Just getting there,
Do you remember as a kid how you felt?
Yeah, I think so, but I was only, you know, the problem was, as big a Jet fan as I even was then, I was only 15. Remember, I became a Jet fan in 1965, 4 years later, winning a championship.
For sure.
Okay? So, you know, it was a different feel to it. Now, I don't know if you know the story of this, okay? I'm a sophomore in high school, right? Paramus High School. And I got no money. I'm not working or anything. I made all these bets with guys. Okay. I don't know how many bets I made. And I wasn't even, some of the bets, I wasn't even getting the 18 points. Okay.
Wow.
17 and a half, right? So when I walked in, and I don't know how I was ever going to pay for it if they didn't win. When I walked in that day, people, I'm telling you, man, people were looking at me like and throwing money. Here's your $10, like aggravated.
Yeah.
One of my buddies, my good buddy, he lives in Arizona now. In fact, I heard from him yesterday, Kenny Barbera, right? I made a $10 bet with Kenny. You know what he does? This is so Kenny, though. He hands me $10 in pennies.
He paid you.
Well, no, I'm just saying. But $10, he gives me a bag. Here's $10. That was unbelievable.
A lot of money back then, too.
I probably would have lost about $200. I made about $200.
Oof.
Yep.
And to think,
1968.
No one 69. Thought they'd win that game.
Nobody. 17 and a half, 18-point underdogs, bro.
Changed everything, too.
And the Jets were the better team. Let me tell you, there was the three best teams in pro football that year were all in the AFL. The Jets, the Raiders, and the Chiefs. Those were the three best teams in pro football that year.
And the Jets were your team that won.
Yep.
Take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get CeeLo in here. More of your calls, 888-808-1019. Joe and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
What's this from?
Your movie.
That's right, man. Good old Beverly Hills Cop. Did you see Beverly Hills Cop Axel F?
Joe, I'm talking to you. Yes. Thrill is gone. Yes. Len Fry. No, what do you want?
I said, did you see the fourth Beverly Hills Cop movie that came out?
The fourth?
Just came out, Joe.
No, I did not.
Very
but
good.
I haven't seen a movie probably since, like, Ben-Hur.
I saw
The Godfather, of course.
Those are the 70s. You didn't know Beverly Hills Cop movies? No.
No, I know the movies. Eddie Murphy and all of that.
I know.
There's four of them now?
One and two, 85 and 87.
Right.
Number three was in like 93.
And that is one now again?
Trash. And they just came out with another one.
Eddie Murphy too?
It was very good. Yeah. It was very good.
Wow, interesting.
So where did that, was that in the theaters?
Netflix.
Or Netflix? Does Joe have a Netflix account?
I do, but I don't, you know, I'm not.
You don't use it.
I don't really.
By the way, before we get to CeeLo, my friend Dan Calicari texted me. We are very big in the Dayton football locker room right now.
Dayton? I didn't even know Dayton had football.
His son plays football there. Sent him a picture. They're watching us.
What,
in
they play
Dayton
Division
football.
II there? Dayton?
Locker room. I have no idea.
Do they play, you know, they play Division I basketball.
Dayton, Ohio or Dayton, New Jersey?
Dayton, Ohio, oh, I believe.
Okay.
Is there a Dayton University in New Jersey?
Oh, I don't know if you're talking university or like high school
college.
Or something.
No,
okay.
College.
College. All right.
It's college. So what's up, guys? That's kind of cool.
Thank you. Thank you in Dayton.
You are now
going to go
store.
To Dayton. When I was going to college in Indiana at beautiful Franklin College, we used to go to Dayton to drink beer because in Ohio you could drink beer at 18 and 21 in Indiana.
How about that?
There you go.
How long was that ride?
That's
who was
couple
driving
hours.
Back.
Couple hours.
A different
bro, back
time,
then, let me
it?
Tell you, bro.
I know.
Bro,
I know.
Bro, I don't even want to get into
much different time. I
won't even get into I look back at some of the stuff. I say, how did I get away with all this? You know.
Well, because I think everybody was doing it.
No, I think that's it.
As Mike Gundy told us thousands of times.
Yeah. No, I know. I know.
Mike times Gundy, the football coach.
Yeah.
Yes. Did you not see any of that?
Kind
of.
semi-defending his player.
The one from years ago you're talking about?
Yeah. He's a man. No, he's 40.
Right.
That's not what I'm referencing, but yeah, same guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And he's now what? He's got to be 55 now, right? Because that video is
somewhere else. College football this year. Boy, my God. He's going to be... What a different world. Right?
Different world.
Mm-hmm. It is. Rutgers play USC this year?
I think they do. Yes, you know what? They play USC, where? I believe, on a Friday night out there at 11 p.m.
Play UCLA, too?
I don't know the answer to that.
They play anybody? Oregon or Washington?
I don't have the Rutgers football schedule.
Joe, have you heard UCLA? They're in L.A.
I've heard that. Why are you asking me that?
Deshaun Foster's the head coach now.
Okay.
So he went up for his
Deshaun Foster, the old running back?
Correct.
From the Panthers?
That's right. Big Ten media days, introductory press conference, and he tried a joke that didn't go over well, and it was awkward.
All right, here you go. You ready?
He goes, yeah, we're in L.A.
They play UCLA at home.
Okay.
The USC game, as I told you, it's a Friday night at 11 p.m.
Right.
Out there.
They don't play Michigan or Ohio State, though, right?
They do not. They have Michigan State.
Right.
Nebraska? No, they do not.
Okay.
Nope. Their Big Ten games this year will be in Nebraska. Oh, Washington's now a Big Ten team. Washington.
So they play three of the four Pac-12 teams.
Yeah, I don't see Oregon on the schedule.
Okay.
So they get three of the four. They got Illinois at home, on the road at Maryland, and finish at Michigan State.
Who are the weak sisters they play? Because they're good for those.
Timeout. That's not fair. Every single team does that.
Joe, Alabama's good for
those. No, I understand. No, I get that. But they played somebody last year that I didn't even realize even possibly played football. Who was it?
Howard. They play Howard.
No,
it wasn't even Howard.
Bucknell.
It was like somebody from like New York or something.
Was it Fordham? Did they play Fordham?
No, it wasn't Fordham.
Albany? Last year? No.
You sure didn't play somebody like... You know,
Wagner?
Wagner, there it is.
Oh, you know Wagner? Oh, you didn't know they had a football
team?
No. Okay.
That's what I'm saying. That's who it was. Wagner.
Wagner's one of those, real quick, so you want to know.
Yeah, let me hear it.
They play Howard at home, Akron at home.
Right.
That's really it. Okay. They got Virginia Tech.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's a good game.
It's a very good schedule.
That's it. It's the first two.
Years ago, when I was doing Columbia with Sal, we had a road game at Wagner.
Right.
And so we show up.
Where's that? Staten Island, right?
Staten Island. Sal's one of these guys, he gets very comfortable with a press box. To where he can kind of settle in, do his own thing.
Okay.
Well, these lower level Division I schools, sometimes there's not much of a press box. So we show up. Now we've done games at Monmouth where there's no press box, but you're divided by at least a wall.
Okay.
At Harvard, the press box is open, but again, you're divided like a sliding door, but everybody can hear you. Well, at Wagner, we show up and the press box is just three rows of seats. There's no walls, no nothing. They're like, here's your setup. The PA announcer's right here. The report.
Wow.
Everybody's on top of you. And Sal goes, wait, we have to talk like in this open room? I'm like, yes, we do. And it was the most awkward 3 hours I think we've ever spent doing a football game. Could you imagine? You're yelling and announcing a game. And by the way, the Wagner guys are like three seats over from you. So there's chaos in the booth the entire time.
Huh.
That was Wagner football.
Wow.
They're a good team too at the time. But yes, Sal did not take to those moments kindly or well for that matter. Anyhow.
Is that before or after Columbia?
That was Columbia.
Oh, at Wagner. I'm sorry. My bad. Wow.
That's right. You did Columbia for a while, right?
My bad.
Basketball too.
Right? 11 years of football, 10 years of basketball.
Okay.
Correct. And that's now 9 years ago.
That's unbelievable.
This will be year 9 with
Rutgers. No, you've been doing it a long time.
And I think year 14 with the Cowboys, with Compass Media.
Wow. Numbers.
It goes fast.
You getting any Rutgers football games in place of Carlin this year or no?
As of now, no.
All right.
Nope. But I'll let you know if that changes.
Maybe he can't make the USC hit. It'd be a nice little trip for you.
That game is an 11 p.m. game out there.
Are you listening
to anything?
Dude,
I tell you, between you two, I'm usually not like that.
I think it's a combo of lack of sleep and looming vacation.
Understood. Yeah. Yes, right. Coming up at 11 o'clock.
That flight to California. Oh, baby.
Yeah.
I have a Cowboys preseason game that starts, not this weekend, next weekend, 11 p.m. start in Vegas.
Wow.
That's rough. Or LA. I forget who they're playing.
Right.
11 p.m. I'm going to get off the air at 2:30.
What do you do to
pre-impulse? Which is when I usually wake up in the morning.
Pre and post?
Yeah.
It's what? Well, I'm sorry. What day of the week?
Okay.
Here's Chris.
Which one is it?
It's like next Saturday.
Okay. So you don't actually.
I'm
have
not coming
to work,
but I'm just saying, like, try.
You know, it's
the
late,
idea of staying awake for that is a problem.
Right.
But I'll do the best I can.
It's like when we do West Coast SNY hits from home and, you know, signing on at 1:30.
Yeah.
You know? That's rough.
Not easy.
No.
Set the alarm.
That's right.
All right, take it.
All right, brought to you by the Farmer's Dog Fresh, human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. A little bit from the Yankees here as they did beat the Blue Jays in 10-4-3 on DJ LeMahieu's game-winning RBI single through the drawn-in infield, capping a productive week for him. So the Yanks take the series. They got a good stretch going here, 7 out of 8. Even with the Orioles atop the AL East, they've got the night off to play the Angels tomorrow night in the Bronx. Now, 3 more intentional walks for Aaron Judge yesterday while Juan Soto hit his 28th home run of the season. Here was Soto on Toronto's cautious approach to Judge.
This sucks, and it just because you want him on the plate. Like I'm doing my best to put him up, and you see them pass him over. It makes me mad.
And he wants to see a little fireworks when Judge is in the box as much as possible.
I don't like that. I want them to challenge him and see what he can really do. But it is what it is. It's part of the game. They try to win too, so. You respect that.
I know everybody's different. I would hate that as a pitcher.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it. I don't know that any of them are like, yes, please, thank God, let me intentionally walk him. But they got to follow what the
staff wants. Oh, no, I know you do, but it stinks. You know?
Yeah, I mean, he certainly hurt them throughout the weekend as well in other instances.
Sure.
Like Jerry, you pointed out where they were able to pitch to him and get him out.
Yeah.
It's not like he's hitting, 900 or anything like that, but they're trying to keep the ball in the ballpark. The aforementioned Angels will be coming east after taking a series from the Mets, 2 out of 3 over the weekend in Anaheim. They took Sunday's rubber game 3-2 as the Mets struggled at the plate again. They're going to go to St. Louis for this makeup game with the Cardinals before heading back west through Colorado and then Seattle. He had some missed opportunities for the Mets at the plate both Saturday and Sunday. They're now hitting .198 for the season with runners in scoring position.
That sucks.
Yeah, Brandon Nimmo trying to take it all in stride.
You know, sometimes it doesn't work out, in scoring situations. Even if you come through, 3 or 4 out of 10 times, you're really, really good at it.
I heard
McMonagle say coming in that since the All-Star break, the only team worse with runners in scoring position are the White Sox.
I believe
that's not good company to be in.
No. They haven't hit well. The Mets have not hit great since the All-Star. I mean, Alvarez is not hitting at all.
Yeah.
Alonso's chasing pitches all over the place. Nimmo's
gone cold.
He had three hits Friday night.
He had 3 hits and he had a double on Saturday.
But yeah.
He has not hit either. Yeah.
The Friday
Lindor's been the one constant.
Lindor. Yeah.
For the most part. Even when he's making out, he's hitting the ball hard.
And Vientos, I know you did a double play yesterday, but Vientos has had some big hits for him.
Yep. Yeah.
Yes.
And that's the one guy, too. You got, first and third and one out.
Yeah, he had a big double play yesterday.
At least he'll drive the run in and end up out of the inning. Correct.
Well, look, I know it's a weird one going to St. Louis for this makeup, but it would be a good one to get against the Cardinals because they are the next team behind the Mets in the wild card race.
Big game.
Game and a half behind them. Mets are a game and a half behind Arizona for that third wild card spot. And you got the three teams that are in a wild card spot right now, basically separated by a game with the Braves, the Padres, and the
Diamondbacks.
And
even if you look at the Mets in the loss column, they're right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not, like anything's crazy.
Absolutely. Yeah. The Phillies have been struggling, but they did get off the schneid and snap the 6-game skid with a 6-0 shutout of the Mariners in Seattle yesterday. They hit a trio of 8th-inning home runs. Some football sound for you. Brian Daboll yesterday, Giants camp, still no Evan Neal on the practice field, and they were trying to grill Daboll about when he might be ready to get back out there, and he basically just stiff-armed the media along the way.
Look, he's working hard. He's trying to do everything he can do to get better. He's just not ready to go yet. When he is, he'll be ready. I'm not going to get into all the particulars. He's rehabbing. When he's ready, he'll be ready.
So here they are piecing together the offensive line a little bit already. John Michael Schmitz is out for the time being, at least. So I know we got a ways to go. But you brought, who was it, Ross Tucker's rankings?
Yeah.
Doesn't surprise me. I mean, they were abysmal last year. I know they invested a lot of money in it in the offseason, but we've seen them do that before, and it's crashed and burned.
That is true.
So let's see it week one. The Jets had their green and white scrimmage on Saturday in Florham Park. Good outing for Aaron Rodgers, taking the offense up and down the field other than into the end zone. They settled for some field goals, but Robert Saleh was pleased afterwards with what he saw from the veteran.
We would always just be dumbfounded at why Green Bay would always have 8 or 9 drives in a game, and today was an example. Just so methodical down the field, long methodical drives that eat up clock and get the game moving. So he's an impressive dude, and he's a Hall of Famer for a reason.
Overall numbers from that scrimmage were solid, but what does it mean? It's a green and white scrimmage, right? So we'll see how they
means
do
nothing.
In their preseason opener.
Nothing means anything until the Niner game.
For the Jets.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's true.
Washington, though, comes in. You get Jaden Daniels. Get a little look at him. Mm. He's going to play in that game for the Commanders. That was announced, I think, yesterday.
What a disgrace.
I know, the name, right? News from Paris this morning.
Beyond.
Simone Biles, she did win a gold over the weekend on the vault. but she fell off the balance beam this morning, so she's held off at the podium there.
Did you see the poor guy's penis get stuck on the pole vault?
Yes, I did. What? Well, I don't know about stuck, but it made contact.
Not stuck.
Yeah, he didn't get stuck up there.
You didn't see
so
this?
He goes, no, he went over to pole vault and he got hit.
Knocked the bar off.
Yes.
He got hit in the family jewels?
Well, I'd kind of put it the other way. Yeah, rather exactly. than he got hit.
His
pole.
His package hit the pole.
Oh, my God. And it was large enough and...
It was brutal, man.
Go ahead, Eddie. Continue.
It was painful.
Do you want to finish that sentence for us?
No.
No?
The video is just awful.
Glad I missed it.
Yeah. It was a painful one. But, I mean, if you're going to go out, I guess that's the way to go out, right?
No.
No?
That's the way to go out? No. No, hold
on. Joe, if you're going to go out of the event, like, rather than the... I saw one guy try to... pole vault up there, and he got rejected by the pole and was sent backwards.
Really?
At least this guy can say, well, you know.
My penis too big.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, you disagree.
No, anything involving that where there could be pain is something that I, you know, would rather not think about.
Oh, yeah, well, there was pain. Had to
if
be pain.
He had to go out.
Right,
you know.
Right. Okay.
So for that,
that video went pretty
I mean, pretty viral, if he broke quickly. His leg, that's one thing. I mean, you know, if you don't want to break that.
I would think not. No.
I understand.
Quite my penis looked bigger. That's my spot. I think that's me in my Manscaped spot. It's true. Hey, even if you got the illusion of it, it's not a bad thing. You know.
He thinks as if it hasn't been featured here on this program.
No, I know. Well, no.
Was that
but
me?
As I say in the spot, okay. Let's be honest. There's not one guy out there that doesn't want. To look big.
I think this pole vaulter might have preferred that it'd be a little smaller.
Well,
at least
the swimmer? I'm not doing any pole vaulting, so I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, well, you aren't, yeah.
What do you think about the swimmer? Who took all the pictures showing his stuff?
Well, the suit
that was hanging out?
Right.
Not hanging out, but it was, I mean, it's obvious.
There was a very, very
big difference
minimal,
between him and his teammate.
Very minimal amount of material in the swimwear there.
There's a lot going on there.
Hey, I guess so.
Speaking of a lot going on, men's 100-meter dash yesterday, you guys, I'm sure, saw, if you didn't see it live, you've seen the footage of the photo finish. Yes. Noah Lyles, who wins by 5 milliseconds.
I felt bad. Did you see all the... The way it was written about the announcer on NBC, they talking about he got it wrong, but like it's not the worst, whatever.
Well, I think it was because it was so
spiffy.
I don't know. It was so close.
Can you look up who the announcer was for the, what was it, the 100-meter?
Men's 100-meter dash.
And he, I guess on NBC, he got the call wrong, but it was like the difference was thousands of a second.
Well, I think that was the point. He was so emphatic that... I couldn't tell who won the race.
Was it Spiffy? Is that his name?
Diffy.
Okay. Right. Ill Diffy? What's his name?
Lee Diffy.
I actually felt bad for him. He's so much energy.
It's unfortunate. It backfired on him. And to be fair, even Lyles himself wasn't exactly sure. And he kind of went over to the right. It was a Jamaican runner. I'm blanking on his name at the moment.
That they were showing on camera.
Right.
Yeah. After the race... I came up, we were waiting for the names to pop up, and I'm going to be honest, I came over, I was like, I think you got that one, big dog.
So he didn't even know until they put it up there.
I mean, the difference was so small.
Oh, here it is.
And he came from, he was last. I mean, not that he was a distant last, but he was running in eighth, and he found a way there
at the
end.
That is close.
So they had to go to the photo finish, and even then it was confusing. It was like, is it the head? Is it the foot? Okay, apparently it's the torso. I don't know, man.
Okay.
But it was pretty wild. So it came right down to the wire. Sort of in the golf, came down to the wire a little bit, like Fleetwood.
Well,
Right. Well, he had, a four-shot lead with eight holes.
When I put it on yesterday, he was on, like, the 11th hole. He was 20 under par with a four-shot lead.
Yeah.
And that evaporated quickly.
Back nine did not go well for him, whereas Scottie Scheffler played a bogey-free round of 62.
Let me ask you a question. Does this ice the fact? Because Scheffler won two majors, okay?
Yeah.
And he kind of folded yesterday, too.
Right.
Does this ice the fact that Scheffler is the golfer of the year?
I think he has to be.
Yeah. I mean, unless Xander did something so much ridiculous in the FedEx.
Well, I guess he could win the
tour
FedEx
championship.
Right.
I don't
really pay attention to that, but...
I mean... It's an insane year for Scheffler, especially when you take into account what he went through with...
PGA.
Yeah.
This has been a Tiger-like year, for sure.
It's
one of the best we've seen since him, for sure.
Scheffler's tremendous.
You know, he's pretty even-keeled, and you saw that all the way up until he stood on the podium with the medal around his neck and the national anthem was playing, and then you started to see the emotion and the tears come down.
When you go to a sporting event, you hear everybody in the stands singing the national anthem. It's a pretty special thing to be a part of, and I think that's something that we take tremendous pride in, and it was just very emotional being up there on stage there as the flag is being raised and the, you know, sitting there singing the national anthem.
Yeah, and the wife there, I think the parents there, is his, not a newborn at this point, but a couple month old son was there, and heck of a year for him. And how about the Americans? All four majors, the Players' Championship, and the Olympic gold medal. So pretty good season for them from start to finish.
Yeah, we had two really terrific majors. The PGA and the U.S. Open gave you massive drama. You had that kind of going at the British at the Open Championship, and then Schauffele just took it away in the back nine on
Sunday.
The
opposite of what he did yesterday.
Right, yeah. Right, yep. Yeah.
All right, Chris, good job. We'll see you all next hour. Take a quick break. When we come back, more of you, 888-808-1019. We'll also get back to the baseball and the football as well. It's Joe and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
Coming back on the van, Joe and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. We've got your calls coming up, 888-808-1019. As soon as we can find Joe, he is meandering around the radio station. I would take the calls, but I know they want to talk to Joe, so I figure I'll just wait for him to settle in. Well, I mean, you were meandering. You weren't here. Like, that's like... Oh.
I tell you,
yeah, I'm listening.
I'm trying to hit it.
It's Billy Idol.
Billy Idol. Oh, tremendous. I know.
I don't know if you would have been good doing the Pharrell format or completely distracted. Remember that back in the day where he used to play the music under him the entire 3 hours?
Yes. I loved Scotty. Awesome. Scotty and I were very tight.
I didn't say you didn't like him. I'm wondering if you could have done that show with that format with the music underneath you for 3 hours.
Maybe.
Which I thought
I would start singing.
No joke. I thought that was going to be the future of like sports radio. That type of hockey atmosphere radio show. And no one's done it since.
Scotty's a great guy. I love Scotty. I don't know what he's doing now, but...
I do know. He's on TV on Sports Grid.
Is he?
Yep.
I think he lives in Jersey. I don't think he lives too far from me in Jersey either. I believe so.
Okay.
But I got to tell you this story. So last time I was here, worked with you a month ago, whatever it was.
Okay.
So I go, before I at the end of the show, go into the bathroom, right? Go into the stall in the front, not the big one in the back.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. The front one, right?
The one no one usually wants to use.
Right. I'll tell you why. So I locked the thing, right? Now I'm done. Try to unlock. I can't unlock the door. I can't get out. No, it's just a true story. Can't get out. I'm flipping out, right?
What do you mean you can't get out? You couldn't turn the handle?
Bro,
wasn't working?
I'm telling you. You could not get out. I'm kicking the door. So now I'm standing on top of the toilet, right? Thinking, can I go over the top? I can't go underneath. You know, I'm pretty thin, but I still can't get underneath, you know? And I'm like, well, what am I going to do? I'm kicking the door. Now I'm yelling. Now I'm starting to yell. Anybody out there? I'm stuck in the bathroom. I was saved. You know, Mindy, the engineer.
Of course.
You know, lovely, lovely lady. Okay. She hears me, and thank God she heard me. She got some guy. He had to come in. And this is true. He had to come in with like a screwdriver. To get this thing open.
You were really locked in the stall.
I'm telling you. And I was flipping out. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Can't make it up.
Do you imagine walking into the bathroom and see him climbing over the
I was trying. Stall. You know, 25 years ago, maybe I would have been able to do it. Now, forget it now.
You honestly couldn't slide under the bottom?
No, you can't do it. I thought I was really thinking about it. It's not enough. Not enough space.
That also would have been a sight.
Oh, could you see me crawling out from under the... Oh, my God.
I could not.
No, well,
I'm sorry to hear that. I'm glad all...
Just do yourself... Maybe they fixed it now, because I won't go near that. Like, God forbid, I won't go near that stall. Maybe they fixed it. I don't know. After the disaster with me.
I would certainly hope so. John in Tom's River. What's up, John?
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing, man? Listen, pleasure, Joe.
Hi, John.
I remember 93-94 season. You were my first FAN call. Goes back a ways, man. Oh, but anyway, remember the we're talking about the Eli catch to Tyree?
Yes.
And I remember the fan had a contest if you come up with a catchy phrase. And I said Eli Mentory, and it never kicked in, so I don't know if they didn't like it or what.
Eli Mentory.
You realize Eli Mentory, yeah. like it was a great catch anyway. Right, right. But that would have never happened if the rules today with the in the grasp, if you think about that.
I don't think it's what? So bad in the grasp. It's not like the old days when they had in the grasp and you would touch the guy and they'd say it was a sack.
There was a 2-year period there.
Where it was brutal.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And one other thing, Joe, I got to get your thoughts. What do you think about this freaking landing zone? My God.
You're talking about the kickoff rule now?
Yeah.
You know what? I don't get it. I don't get it. Do you get this kickoff rule, Jerry?
I don't like it. They're doing it to try and keep returns in the game while minimizing injury. I think it looks goofy. It looks like a video game. I don't know if it'll be here much beyond
this
year.
Can I say this?
It's going to be different.
It is the hypocrisy of Roger Goodell trying to act like he's concerned about guys getting hurt is the biggest joke of all time. I mean, let's be honest. He can't wait to go to 18-game season, okay? If you're so worried about guys getting hurt, you already went to 17 games. You know you're going to 18
games.
Yes,
they are.
Who are you kidding, Roger? Let me tell you right now. The owners, Roger Goodell, could give a flying rat's tail about the players.
I will tell you, though.
Let's be honest about it, okay?
Maybe. You're probably right about that.
Okay.
But I will tell you, an 18-game schedule for me, get rid of, go to 2 preseason games. No one's playing them anyway at this point.
No, the preseason's a joke.
If you go to 18 preseason games and you give each team 2 buys and you extend the season a little bit, I think it's okay.
Yeah.
Joe, you got quarterbacks making $60 million.
No, I understand.
You can go out there and play 18 games.
No, I get it. But, I mean, don't try to tell me that you're worried about player safety. Okay? That's all. That's my point.
See, to me, the Sunday-Thursday night thing is a bigger issue to me than the extra games.
Of course.
Now, flip side to
every
that,
day. I didn't even realize this. I was watching, I don't know what it was. And obviously I know about the Thursday night opener, Baltimore, Kansas City. There's a game Friday night on that they're streaming?
Yeah.
The Packers and the Eagles?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. They got a whole bunch of different things coming down the pike, Joe.
Well, just wait for the Super Bowl streaming. You know that's coming.
It might be. I still have Peacock because of the playoffs. I signed up for Peacock. I have not canceled it.
I bought the one game, the Chief Dolphin game.
Yeah.
I did buy it.
Well, I signed up for it. I still have it.
Do you?
Yeah, I don't know, I'm one of those idiots.
I just got it for the one night.
I also figure... As Al and I talk about on the podcast all the time, I have no problem spending $22 for a drink, but yet I'm going to argue over $4.99 for a streaming service that's got hundreds of shows.
Yeah.
So I keep it.
Well, that's cool.
One more before the break.
$22 for a drink.
Yeah, in
New
York.
Was that Manhattan?
So I'll tell you, hold on one second, Andres. Manhattan is expensive. When we went to Minnesota for the Big Ten tournament this year, I got 2 drinks. I got the bill. It was $48.
In a hotel?
The drinks were 20. Yeah, it was a steakhouse. No, it wasn't a hotel. It was a steakhouse.
Oh, well.
Minneapolis was $48 for 2 drinks?
Yeah, that's absurd.
What the hell is that?
What'd you have? Did you have
I had
martinis?
No, I had tequila.
Okay.
$24?
No,
that's why I'm not going to bitch and complain over $4.99 for a streaming app to watch even one game. It's fine. Andreas in Hamilton, what's up?
Andreas.
Joe and Jerry, pleasure. First time caller, long time listener. So, just real quick, the tire changing thing on the Driscoll Bridge there. I was a cop for 20 years. I just recently retired. And I can't tell you how many Xennials and Millennials don't know how to change a tire.
I know.
Really, really.
I know.
So, it's great to see that despite the greatness of the WFAN world, you are still able to change a tire.
I can do it.
And you are proud of being able to do so. And it blows my mind that all these people are blasting you saying, why are you not calling AAA or anything like that? It's okay to get your hands dirty and do something that, is a lost art form in today's world.
Yeah. I agree.
And I love that picture. Who took that picture? Kim?
It was either Kim or Joseph. I think Joseph took it, actually.
Okay. It's a great shot there, Jeff.
What else,
so,
Andre?
Anyway, gentlemen, getting back to Eli Manning. Now, I've been a Giants season ticket holder since 2007, and
it's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, coming back on the van, Joe and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. We've got your calls coming up, 888-808-1019. As soon as we can find Joe, he is meandering around the radio station. I would take the calls, but I know they want to talk to Joe, so I figure I'll just wait for him to settle in. Well, I mean, you were meandering. You weren't here.
I tell you stories.
Yeah, I'm listening.
I'm trying to hit it.
It's Billy Idol.
Billy Idol. Oh, tremendous. I know.
You would. I don't know if you would have been good doing the Pharrell format or completely distracted. Remember that back in the day where he used to play the music under him the entire 3 hours?
Yes, I loved Scotty. Awesome. Scotty and I were very tight.
I didn't say you didn't like him. I'm wondering if you could have done that show with that format with the music underneath you for 3 hours.
Maybe.
Which I thought
I would start singing.
No joke. I thought that was going to be the future of like sports radio. Yeah. That type of hockey atmosphere radio show. And no one's done it since.
Scotty's a great guy. I love Scotty. I don't know what he's doing now, but.
I do know. He's on TV on Sports Grid.
Is he?
Yep.
I think he lives in Jersey. I don't think he lives too far from me in Jersey either. I believe so.
Okay.
But I got to tell you this story. So last time I was here, worked with you a month ago, whatever it was.
Okay.
So I go before at the end of the show, go into the bathroom, right? Go into the stall in the front, not the big one in the back.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. The front one, right?
The one one usually wants to use.
Right. I'll tell you why. So I locked the thing, right? Now I'm done. Try to unlock. I can't unlock the door. I can't get out. No, it's just a true story. Can't get out. I'm flipping out, right?
What do you mean you can't get out? You couldn't turn the handle?
Bro,
wasn't working?
I'm telling you. You could not get out. I'm kicking the door. So now I'm standing on top of the toilet, right? Thinking, can I go over the top? I can't go underneath. You know, I'm pretty thin, but I still can't get underneath, you know? And I'm like, well, what am I going to do? I'm kicking the door. Now I'm yelling. Now I'm starting to yell. Anybody out there? I'm stuck in the bathroom. I was saved. You know, Mindy, the engineer.
Of course.
You know, lovely, lovely lady. Okay. She hears me, and thank God she heard me. She got some guy. He had to come in. And this is true. He had to come in with like a screwdriver to get this thing open.
You were really locked in the stall.
I'm telling you. And I was flipping out. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Can't make it up.
Do you imagine walking into the bathroom and see him climbing over the
I was trying. Stall. You know, 25 years ago, maybe I would have been able to do it. Now, forget it now.
You honestly couldn't slide under the bottom?
No, you can't do it. I thought I was really thinking about it. It's not enough. Not enough space.
That also would have been a sight.
Oh, could you see me crawling out from under the... Oh, my God.
I could not.
No, well...
I'm sorry to hear that. I'm glad all...
Just do yourself... Maybe they fixed it now, because I won't go near that. Like, God forbid, I won't go near that stall. Maybe they fixed it. I don't know. After the disaster with me.
I would certainly hope so. John and Tom's River. What's up, John?
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing, man? Listen, pleasure, Joe.
Hi, John.
I remember 93, 94 season. You were my first FAN call. Goes back a ways, man. Oh, well. But anyway, remember the... we're talking about the Eli catch to Tyree.
Yes.
And I remember the fan had a contest if you come up with a catchy phrase. And I said Eli Mentory, and it never kicked in, so I don't know if they didn't like it or what.
Eli Mentory.
You realize Eli Mentory, yeah. Like, it was a great catch anyway.
Right, right.
But that would have never happened if the rules today would be in the grasp, if you think about that.
I don't think it's so bad in the grasp. It's not like the old days when they had in the grasp and you would touch the guy and they'd say it was a sack.
There was a 2 year period there.
Where it was brutal.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And one other thing, Joe, I got to get your thoughts. What do you think about this freaking landing zone? My God.
You're talking about the kickoff rule now?
Yeah.
You know what? I don't get it. I don't get it. Do you get this kickoff rule, Jerry?
I don't like it. They're doing it to try and keep returns in the game while minimizing injury. I think it looks goofy. It looks like a video game. I don't know if it'll be here much beyond this year.
Can I say
it's going to be different?
It is the hypocrisy of Roger Goodell trying to act like he's concerned about guys getting hurt is the biggest joke of all time. I mean, let's be honest. He can't wait to go to 18 game season. Okay. If you're so worried about guys getting hurt, you already went to 17 games. You know you're going to 18
games.
Yes,
they are.
Who are you kidding, Roger? Let me tell you right now. The owners, Roger Goodell, could give a flying rat's tail about the players.
I will tell you, though.
Let's be honest about it, okay?
Maybe. You're probably right about that.
Okay.
But I will tell you, an 18-game schedule for me, get rid of, go to 2 preseason games. No one's playing them anyway at this point.
No, the preseason's a joke.
If you go to 18 preseason games and you give each team 2 buys and you extend the season a little bit, I think it's okay.
Yeah.
Joe, You got quarterbacks making $60 million.
No, I understand.
You can go out there and play 18 games.
No, I get it. But, I mean, don't try to tell me that you're worried about player safety. Okay? That's all. That's my point.
See, to me, the Sunday-Thursday night thing is a bigger issue to me than the extra games.
Of course.
Now, the flip side to that.
They play every day. I didn't even realize this. I was watching, I don't know what it was. And obviously I know about the Thursday night opener, Baltimore-Kansas City. There's a game Friday night on that they're streaming?
Yeah.
The Packers and the Eagles?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Yep. They got a whole bunch of different things coming down the pike, Joe.
Well, just wait till the Super Bowl streaming. You know that's coming.
It might be. I still have Peacock because of the playoffs. I signed up for Peacock. I have not canceled it.
I bought the one game, the Chief Dolphin game.
Yeah.
I did buy it.
Well, I signed up for it. I still have it.
Do you?
Yeah, I'm one of those idiots.
I just got it for the one night.
I also figure... As Al and I talk about on the podcast all the time, I have no problem spending $22 for a drink, but yet I'm going to argue over $4.99 for a streaming service that's got hundreds of shows.
Yeah.
So I keep it. It's
okay, well, that's cool.
One more before the break.
$22 for a drink.
Yeah, in
New
York.
Was that Manhattan?
So I'll tell you, hold on one second, Andres. Manhattan is expensive. When we went to Minnesota for the Big Ten tournament this year, I got two drinks. I got the bill. It was $48.
In a hotel?
The drinks were 20. Yeah, it was a steakhouse. No, it wasn't a hotel. It was a steakhouse.
Oh, well.
Minneapolis was $48 for two drinks?
Yeah, that's absurd.
What the hell is that?
What'd you have? Did you have like,
I had
martinis?
No, I had tequila.
Okay.
$24?
No,
so that's why I'm not going to bitch and complain over $4.99 for a streaming app to watch even one game. It's fine. Andreas in Hamilton, what's up?
Andreas.
Joe and Jerry, pleasure. First-time caller, long-time listener. So just real quick, the tire changing thing on the Driscoll Bridge there. I was a cop for 20 years. I just recently retired. And I can't tell you how many Xennials and Millennials don't know how to change a tire.
I know.
Really bothers me.
I know.
So it's great to see that despite the greatness of the WFAN world, you are still able to change a tire.
I can do it.
And we're proud of being able to do so. And it blows my mind that all these people are blasting you saying, why are you not calling AAA or anything like that? It's okay to get your hands dirty and do something that, you know, is a lost art form in today's world.
Yeah. I agree.
I love that picture. Who took that picture? Kim?
It was either Kim or Joseph. I think Joseph took it, actually.
Okay. It's a great shot there, Jess.
What else,
Andre? Anyway, gentlemen, so getting back to Eli Manning. Now, I've been a Giants season ticket holder since 2007. And
my dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.